Hi there. Welcome to part 3, the final segment of our extended discussion on Virat Kohli. Welcome back, Gayatri. Let's proceed.
Hi, Neha. Glad to be here. Let's start the show.
Yes. Let's begin the discussion about a low point in Virat Kohli's career and how that shaped him to be the player he is right now. Yes, I'm talking about the 2014 disastrous England tour and how that became a turning point in his life. Let's begin by reflecting on the stats of this tour. The prolific batsman returned with scores of 1, 8, 25, 0, 39, 28, 0, 7, 6 and 20 in 5 innings, averaging 13.5 in his 10 innings and then cemented that with 0, 40, 1 not out and 13 in ODIs. For a man of his caliber, this was something totally unbelievable. There were questions raised about his technique, his position in the team and if he could ever tackle the seeming English conditions. Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad literally played with his mind in that series. And with his personal life also making the news, it was certainly a dreadful time. James Anderson dismissed him 4 times in 10 innings. It was after this series that a lot of measures were taken by him to tackle this phase. Next up, I'd like to focus on how he recovered playing the home series versus West Indies and how he was dropped to number 4 temporarily. Once India was home, there was tremendous pressure on Virat Kohli. In the first ODI, owing to some deficits, he was dismissed for 2. In the next ODI, India experimented by sending him down at 4 and he got a well-deserved 62. However, with him batting at 4 being ruled out, he was in the 4th ODI back at where he bats the best, that is at 3, and scored a well-crafted 127 and handed the West Indies a 59-run loss.
Yes, Neha, I'd also like to add that with better judgment outside his off stump, the result was Kohli's average rising to 54.80 in 31 innings since August 2014. He has been able to convert 7 out of 10 50-plus scores into hundreds, including seven double hundreds. At the start of Kohli's test career, he would only convert 5 of his first 14 50s into centuries. This gave him a respectable, albeit unremarkable, conversion rate of 35.71%. However, since then, Kohli has converted 19 of his following 29 50s into centuries, giving him an incredible conversion rate of 65.52% for this period and bumping his career conversion rate up to 55.81%.
That's a very important stat you bring up, Gayatri. One can also not forget the fluent centuries that he scored in Australia in 2014. There was immense pressure on him after the dreadful England tour, and there was also a lot of pressure for him to deliver down under. He enthralled all of us with his consistent performances in this series.
Yes, when India went down under, Dhoni was injured in the first test and Kohli was required to lead. His hundreds in both the innings of the first test was the biggest talking point. He was also the second highest run scorer in that series with a staggering 4 centuries and 1 half century under his belt while also captaining the team in his limited experience in this format. He became only the second player after Greg Chappell to score hundreds in both the innings of a test on captaincy debut. Early in his innings, Virat Kohli was hit on the head by a Mitchell Johnson bouncer, but he wasn't rattled. Instead, he rattled his opposition with his remarkable batting. He also demonstrated that the responsibility of captaincy only improved his personal batting in his first innings itself. Though India lost the series, the first glimpse of Kohli's aggressive captaincy was on show in this series.
I'd next like to elaborate on the psychological impact of the 2014 England tour on Virat Kohli. This, for one, has been the most defining part of his career as he had a purple patch for a long time with stellar performances across formats. This was the biggest challenge for him was the off-stump deliveries, and he was literally humbled by the English conditions. In multiple interviews, he often talks about this phase, the desperation to succeed here, and the lack of proper technique as the recipe to failure. Sometimes as fans, we need to be considerate with how we express ourselves on social media with the bashing of players. With a player like Virat Kohli, who is always under the public eye and pressure to perform, it can get hard to not let the negative feelings and fear of failure to get the better of him. We need to be more accepting and provide a conducive environment for our players. He battled through this phase successfully, as underlined in the previous points.
Yes, Neha, after that disappointing England tour, Virat Kohli went back to the drawing board and took help from his childhood coach Rajkumar Sharma and Sachin Tendulkar. He actively worked on his flaws, and thus this paved the way for his future success.
Yes, Gayatri, valid point. Our next aspect under Spotlight focuses on his role in RCB.
Yes, RCB, that team that is so close to my heart. So everyone knows that Kohli has been in RCB for 13 years now, but most of us don't know the story of how he was picked in the IPL. So the story goes that he was picked in the IPL by RCB immediately after the Under-19 World Cup win. In the 2008 auction, each team had the option of picking two Under-19 players, and Delhi Daredevils, who got to pick first, opted to pick Pradeep Sangwan over Virat Kohli. So only because he was passed on by Delhi Daredevils did RCB acquire his services. Harbhajan Singh from Mumbai Indians has said that his team tried to steal Kohli away from RCB. Looking back, it was such a great investment for the franchisee, as he has been with them for 13 years. And boy, has he performed.
That's, again, a very good point, Gayatri. Most of us are not aware of this aspect of how he was picked into RCB, and good you brought it up. The next point I'd like to bring up is how the IPL has eluded RCB. RCB, in spite of all the stars that they have boasted of over the years, the one thing that always sticks like a thorn is the inconsistent performances that has always been a barrier between them and the IPL. I think as ardent Bengaluru fans, we have not resigned to our fate and given up all hopes. Every year we hope that, you know, this is the year we're going to win. We came close in 2009, 2011, 2016, where we agonizingly fell short of picking the silverware. But with the current crop of players and Virat and AB de Villiers in the house, anything is possible. While there is official confirmation, while there is no official confirmation about the IPL happening this year or not, we can still be optimistic before both of them decide to hang up their boots for RCB.
Yes, actually, I read an interesting article which compared RCB and CSK and their contrasting journeys in the IPL. As you know, RCB has never won a title, and CSK has won three titles till now. So the gist of that article was that Chennai Super Kings made some sound tactical decisions in their early years and chose players who would add value, but these players were not necessarily explosive players or well-known players at that time. Whereas RCB initially went on to choose stars or people who had, you know, a huge record of themselves, rather than building a proper team with every aspect covered. So though we've come a long way from that first season, I think RCB as a team is still in that same space where our team combination is just not quite right, especially the bowling.
Yes, that's again a valid point to bring up, Gayatri. Moving on, how can we forget the fans? An IPL franchise is almost unimaginable without fans. The passionate fans have never switched loyalties or abandoned their beloved team RCB, that includes me too, as visible by the activity online and everything. This is clearly visible with the crowds thronging the stadiums on match days here at the Chinnaswamy, and the roar and vibe of this ground is something totally different. The fans are unmatched and unparalleled. The matches that Gayatri and I on separate occasions have witnessed during the IPL in our beloved stadium have really been special memories, to say the least.
Yes, Neha, absolutely. For any diehard RCB fan, the journey has been an absolute roller coaster, because we've seen insane highs and the worst lows. I have literally swung between euphoria when experiencing Chris Gayle hitting that iconic 175 not out, or Virat Kohli in 2016 taking us to the final, to heart-wrenching despair when we got that infamous 49 all out that I would actually like to erase from my memory, and last year's last place finish, you know. And however, I have watched every match with hope. And yes, however bad RCB performs, the Chinnaswamy is always filled with fans. And no other franchise without a trophy for 12 years can boast of this kind of fan following.
That's true, Gayatri. No debate on that.
The next important aspect that I would like to focus on is the Kohli and AB de Villiers friendship and how that translates onto on-field partnerships.
Oh, yes.
Kohli and AB de Villiers is a match made in heaven. And we get to witness this partnership only in the IPL. Both of them are amazing cricketers, and when they bat together, it's like watching an orchestra perform, or like watching a really elaborate fireworks display. I mean, it leaves you awed. Both have immense respect and admiration for each other, and their friendship just translates into huge partnerships on the field. With Virat Kohli, AB de Villiers has posted 500 plus partnerships for RCB and two 200 plus partnerships in T20s. I mean, IPL is a T20 tournament. So in 20 overs, 500 plus partnerships and two 200 plus partnerships. And they become the only pair in the world to post two such 200 plus partnerships. The 229 run partnership between AB de Villiers and Virat Kohli for the second wicket against Gujarat Lions in 2016 is the highest partnership in the history of T20 cricket. And they beat their own record of 215 against Mumbai Indians in IPL 2015. So I would add a personal anecdote that I was fortunate enough to witness the match against Gujarat Lions live. And it was pure madness what happened in the Chinnaswamy that day. So RCB was in a position where they needed to win all the remaining matches, starting with that particular match. And while I was going to the stadium, I was praying fervently that we would win at least that match because I was going to watch it. I had absolutely no clue what I was going to witness in the next 4 hours. I don't think even Gujarat Lions knew what happened to them. That match, AB de Villiers hit 129 runs and Kohli hit 109 runs. Throughout the innings, the whole Chinnaswamy and all the RCB fans outside also were on their feet, and I could not stop jumping in the air in the stadium. The only thing that I can say is that I was privileged to have watched that match live, and it's my best memory of a cricket match, hands down.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it, Gayatri. You literally made me, you know, witness that match live. I just closed my eyes and I can feel I picture that match.
I'd now like to talk about IPL 2016. Scoring 4 centuries in one season. Yes, you heard that right. And you've opened the Virat Kohli book of unmatched feats. Scoring an unimaginable 970 runs, RCB rode on his consistency to the finals where they fell short to Sunrisers Hyderabad. But this is the one set of innings that always comes to my mind when I think of an all-formats man, a man who can adapt so comfortably. He broke the shackles and all the tag of not being the quintessential bang-bang type of player and not applying the aerial route for all balls unnecessarily. But with those screaming boundaries, the effortless cover drives, he simply just dominated the bowling.
Yes, Neha, that season, he was like Midas. Every ball his bat touched soared over the boundary. He was, I remember, injured at one stage and he even needed stitches on his hand. But even with those stitches on his hand, he hit a century against Kings 11 Punjab. So just what do we say to that? He powered RCB into the finals when at one stage, we looked like we were completely out of the tournament. We didn't look like we could even qualify. And the season finale happened in the Chinnaswamy. And my father had bought tickets to the final, not knowing which teams would reach the finals. Imagine our delight when RCB actually reached the finals. You know, we went to the finals with great expectations because not only were we playing at home, but our three top players, Chris Gayle, AB de Villiers and Virat Kohli, were in tremendous form. So we just wanted to win the IPL that year. So it was absolutely heartbreaking for me and every single person in the Chinnaswamy that day when we lost. And I still think of what could have happened in that final and how we could have won it and I could have witnessed it live. But nothing can be taken away from RCB's phenomenal season that year.
Most certainly. For all the fans sitting at home also, it was very saddening because we were all like glued to the TV sets hoping to see this visual of Virat Kohli lifting the IPL
Cup,
the whole crowd and everything. The vibe was perfect, but I think that is just not meant to be. But 2021,
I
should be ours, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, the last and the concluding statement that is of utmost importance in this section is the comparisons with Virat Kohli and the contemporaries of his generation, like Joe Root, Kane Williamson and Steve Smith. So, starting off, let's go with stats. It was in 2014 that 4 batsmen from different countries around the cricketing world began to set themselves apart from the rest of the lot. Virat Kohli and Steve Smith were aged 25 then, with Kane Williamson at 24 and Joe Root, the youngest of the lot, at 23. Steve Smith is currently at the pole position among the Fab Four. He was actually the slowest starter and took as many as 23 innings to get his first test century. However, once that happened, he raked up 3 more in the following 15 innings and has not looked back since then.
I would like to add that in fact, Kohli's average of 46.12 is third among the quartet, but that has been skewed by his failures in 10 consecutive innings on the England tour of 2014. Virat Kohli has done well in places like Australia with 55.39 and New Zealand with an average of 71.33. In conventionally slow and low conditions such as Sri Lanka and West Indies, he does not have that impressive a record with the numbers dipping a bit. The only country where Steve Smith averages below 40 is Bangladesh, but that is understandable given the absolute dust bowls that the Tigers have produced of late. Smith has an average of around 60 both in India and in England, and over 40 in South Africa and Sri Lanka. It leaps past 130 in New Zealand and West Indies.
Look, Kane Williamson in Australia, he averages over 55, but he does not have great numbers in India, England, South Africa, and Sri Lanka. While he averages in the 30s in India and England, he has an average of 26.71 in Sri Lanka and his lowest of 21.17 in South Africa. Interestingly, Williamson has excelled in conditions quite contrary to that at home, with an average of almost 65 in UAE and 83.3 in Bangladesh. There is not much of a pattern to the numbers for Joe Root, however. He averages below 25 in Bangladesh and New Zealand, two contrasting set of conditions, but his average in India is surprisingly more than 53. Possibly this could be because of the number of tours he's come to India.
Yeah, since the beginning of 2018, Virat Kohli is the undisputed champion when it comes to the number of runs, while Steve Smith is head and shoulders above the rest with regards to batting average in Test cricket. But Smith
Yeah.
has taken the contest to the next level with his batting exploits despite missing a good 1 year of Test cricket due to his ball tampering ban. Joe Root has clearly been on the decline, having gone through 14 Test innings without a century. His test average this year has also dropped to a shocking 27.40. Kane Williamson
Okay.
has steadily held strong with a test average of over 60 since the beginning of 2018.
I mean, all these four players have been legendary, and a comparison would help reinforce the kind of impact that they have for their teams. We are lucky that four contemporary batsmen are out there battling it, and we get to see the best of cricket. Oh yeah, and the
Yes.
discussion would almost be incomplete if we don't bring to notice the emerging star from Pakistan, Babar Azam, who is also fast becoming a very important batsman of this generation, with some records paralleling that of Kohli.
To add to this discussion, I would also like to mention Kohli's stats across formats and his spots in the ICC ranking. So, in the
Okay.
last year of the decade, that is 2019, Kohli has amassed 2,455 runs to top the run scorers list across all formats of the year. 2019 is also the fourth successive year Virat Kohli holds the record for the most number of runs scored in a calendar year in international cricket. This includes Tests, T20 International, and ODIs. That he
Whoa.
plays all formats with equal ease is evident by looking at his average across all formats, which is 53.63, 59.34, and 50.8, respectively, in Tests, ODIs, and T20s. So his average is above 50 across formats. For some time, he was the number one ODI and Test-ranked batsman at the same time. He has also been ranked number one in T20 internationals by the ICC rankings. Even now, he is in the top 10 rankings in all formats. In the 2014 and 2016 T20 World Cups, he was the man of the series, even though India stumbled in the finals and even though India stumbled in the semi-finals and lost, he still won the man of the series.
Virat Kohli is not just another cricketer. For us, he represents a man who will take Indian cricket to greater heights. He's the backbone of the team, who will always be remembered as one of the greatest batsmen that India has ever produced and a regular feature on dream teams across formats. He's human, he's raw, he's everything that one would want to see in a player. This is not just two fangirls gushing on him. This is what he really brings to the table that ensures millions of fans like us look up to him and pray for his success every single time he's at the crease.
Yes, absolutely, Neha. You've taken the words out of my mouth and you said it.
Our parting thoughts are that we really hope that India wins the 2023 World Cup, and it will be like a dream come true for the main man, as that has always eluded him as a captain. For a man who believes in teamwork and in lifting his players, some remarkable quotes of him over the years, like, "No cricket team in the world depends on one or two players. The team always plays to win." He also emphasizes the value of hard work, and one of his quotes, "Self-belief and hard work will always earn you success," is certainly inspiring. He continues to inspire all of us, and here's hoping that he has a prosperous future ahead, and the day he decides to hang his boots, he will certainly have a legacy to be proud of. Yes, with this we draw the curtain on part 3 of this series, Captivating Virat Kohli. It has been one of the best parts of my time at home, and doing this with Gayatri gives me immense happiness. Well, we could go on and on, but again, owing to the restrictions in time, we tried to be as crisp as possible. Once again, I thank you for coming over, Gayatri. Hoping I can invite you for my future episodes as well. If I'm a cricket fanatic of this proportion, I only see you as my equal and go-to person for cricket. May it always be that way. The dream for us is to witness a test match in Chinnaswamy Stadium, and hoping that happens very soon. I can't imagine sharing that moment with anyone but you. Here's also hoping that this series brings you as much a happiness as it did for me and Gayatri while recording it. Parting note, take care, Gayatri.
Yes, Neha, it's been so fun recording this. I think it's one of the highlights of this year for me, which, I mean, obviously this year has not been great. So yeah. It would have been great to meet personally and do this, but still, doing this from wherever we are right now is still an amazing experience. And I'd also like to add that I think you're doing a wonderful job with this podcast, and I followed it from the initial episode till my episode. So I've really liked it, and I think your enthusiasm and energy is just so infectious. It adds on to me, I mean, brings the best out in me as well. So I'm really grateful that you called me, and I hope the listeners have as much fun listening to this as we had recording it. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye, Gayatri. Thanks, listeners, for being a source of support and for vehemently supporting the podcast and the Instagram page. Please do share this widely with all the cricket fans you know, and most importantly, Virat Kohli fans. Do follow us on @NeverOnTheBackFoot on Instagram for all the updates and a lot more. We're also available on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and a lot more platforms. Do tune in and stay safe, you all. Cheers. Goodbye for now.